Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor, teacher of Shalom Shalom Congregation, and director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. We're a ministry devoted to the sound teaching of God's Word, both in the expositional format and the thematic aspects. And tonight we present to you part two of our 60th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. But before we get started on that, just a few things. As you know, we come to you on our YouTube page at Berit, B-R-I-T, dash, Chadashah, H-A-D-A-S-H-A-H, Ministries. Go on the YouTube and please subscribe and like our videos. We're not trying to monetize anything. I'm not really interested in numbers. I'm just interested in being obedient to God and getting the truth of His Word out there, and let the chips fall where they may. If we get a bunch of subscribers, fine. If we don't, I'm fine with that as well. But we thank you for being with us tonight. And we do come to you twice a week on my Facebook page and YouTube. Every Thursday, we do a broadcast called Search the Scriptures, where we tackle various theological themes from the Scriptures or contemporary issues in Christian apologetics. And we're currently doing a very broad and extensive series on the pseudo-Christian cults claiming to be Christian. We're currently in Mormonism, and this past Thursday we looked at the Mormon view of God, and essentially it is one that is polytheistic and therefore unbiblical. And so if you want to check that out, we already have that available. It's on our YouTube page and my Facebook page. And then, of course, we come to you every Shabbat, every Friday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time. So check us out. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, obviously you can go to our website at toddbaker.org. And we have a quarterly newsletter where we have the most recent report on our gospel outreaches to Israel, which we conduct 2 to 3 times a year. And our summer 2026 edition of Search the Scriptures, we have selected accounts from our 59th gospel outreach in Israel. As you know, we just came back from triumphantly completing our 60th gospel outreach to Israel. And the good news is we will be heading back, Lord willing, to embark on our 61st gospel outreach to Israel, which will be from November 2nd through the 22nd. And folks, God has been very good. I remember one friend, God rest his soul, Robin Hopper, when you'd ask him, "How are you doing?" he would say, "Better than I deserve," reflecting on God's grace towards him. And I certainly could say the same thing. God treats me much, much better than I ever deserve. And we have been doing this full time now since May of 2024. And we are not a mega $1 million ministry. We barely operate and get by each week, but we manage to meet our budget. And I like to call that the George Mueller principle. We just believe God for the funds, not knowing where they're coming at times. And yet God faithfully meets our needs in the budget for this ministry. And we want to continue doing this full time because I'm doing various projects: Jewish evangelism in Israel, sermon preparation for Friday night services, also preparation for our Thursday broadcast. And I'm currently doing research for probably a 2-volume work that I will be doing on the sufferings, trials, and death of Jesus Christ. Probably be a 2-volume work, although I recently bought a 7-volume work just on those themes, and I was about ready to say, why should I even write a book? This guy's 7 volumes, and several friends convinced me, well, you can write, plenty of people write on the same subject or the same book in the Bible, and they give a different perspective. So rather than just throw in the towel, that's what I'm going to do. So we probably have about 30% left of research for that book, which I've been doing now for 2 years, reading, researching for that project. So we got a lot going on, and we thank you for supporting us so that we can do this full time, because really, the nature of this ministry indeed deserves full-time support, and that's what we want to do, and we need your financial support to do that. And we thank you for your ongoing support. So if you would like to support us, You can click on the donate link there that I provided below the title of tonight's message, and it'll take you to our safe, secure donate link. And or you can go to toddbaker.org and hit the donate button. Every donation you give is deeply appreciated, and it keeps us going because not many ministries are doing what we're doing. Very few places now are preaching the Word of God in an expositional format, taking a book of the Bible, going in-depth verse by verse. Very few places are committed to theological soundness and integrity. They're more worried about entertaining their parishioners with the smoke machines and the bright lights and the professional singers. We've gotten away from that. Jesus wants us to make disciples. And if you're going to make disciples, you follow the apostles and you teach the word, as Paul told Timothy. Be ready to preach the word and teach with sound doctrine and use the word of God to edify, reprove, rebuke, and correct. Amen. And so we appreciate that. Folks, we also have a school that that I'm fortunate to teach at, Schofield Institute, where you can earn a master's or a doctoral degree. And probably in September, I will be teaching the problem of evil class. I wrote a book on the problem of evil, answering the problem of evil by the cross and resurrection, what's known as a combined theodicy. So if you're interested in attending that class or any class, and you can contact our school chancellor, Dr. Daniel Woodhead, at 877-706-2479. 3-hour course is only $675, and each course you take, textbooks are provided free of charge. So, and we've got some very good instructors there, very good curriculum that's biblically and theologically sound. And you don't have to take secular courses on psychology and psychiatry and all that. It's strictly Bible-oriented courses. So if you would like to do that, you can call that number, or you can go to our website at www.schofieldinstitute.org. All right, folks, without further ado, let's get into our 60th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation, part two. And last time we left off, we had ministered in Tel Aviv, Tiberias, Galilee, Kiryat Shemona, and now we left, and we are now on day six of our 60th Gospel Outreach, which takes us to our first full day in Jerusalem, which, by the way, was splendid. At a Nautica clothes shop, August and I met Joyce, as you see here, an Armenian Christian. She told us her serious boyfriend, semi-fiancé, because then they're in process of getting engaged, that her serious boyfriend was Jewish, and he would consider looking at the Christian faith if it meant being, you know, with her the rest of his life via marriage. So he was looking into the messianic claims of Jesus the Messiah. Once she learned what our ministry does in Israel, she jumped at the opportunity of us giving her a complete Jewish Bible with messianic gospel reading materials to give to her boyfriend. This would help facilitate him hopefully coming to saving faith in Jesus the Messiah. Joyce marveled at how the Lord brought our paths together so that this Jewish man can possibly be saved through faith in the one who came to save those of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10:6 and 15:24. So she was just amazed at how God sovereignly arranged our meeting with her so that she could give the complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic gospel tracts to her boyfriend. We will be checking back with her in November when we go back to see how things are progressing. And he was a security guard at the Manila Mall when they met, and things just took on a serious tone over the course of time. And they're both breaking their traditions. She's from an Armenian background. They don't look kindly on marrying a Jewish person, and his family doesn't look kindly on him marrying outside the faith, but they don't care. But he's willing to explore the Christian faith. And what better way to explore it within the context than the milieu of the Jewish roots from whence it sprung? Amen. So after that, walking through the promenade of the Manila Shopping Mall, our attention was arrested by a young Israeli musician beautifully playing the cello. And her name was Naomi. She radiantly beamed when the Spirit boldly led us to share God's love to her through his gospel. And she told us that she's played in the United States before to Christian organizations. I forgot exactly what she said, the precise wording, but she told us that. Well, that, of course, opened the door for us to tell her, well, you know, biblical Christianity is Jewish. Christianity is Jewish. The famous book, that title was the famous book that Edith Schaefer wrote, wife of famed apologist Francis Schaefer. And she's right, Christianity is Jewish. And we told Naomi that. And at one point, we tenderly shared with her that the crux of the Hebrew Scriptures, all the New Testament, is found in John 3:16. I bent down, looked her straight in the eye, and quoted this verse to her. And August and I could see that Naomi was moved nearly to tears, as I was at her positive reaction. When she heard John 3:16, folks, after we had witnessed to her, she started tearing up, and she said, that's a wonderful love story. And it is. God loves the sinner. God wants the sinner to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. And she was so moved by our gospel presentation, of course, the Holy Spirit moving upon her, that she received Messianic gospel tracts and a complete Hebrew Bible from us. She thanked August and I for bringing the message of God's love back to Israel. Amen. So pray for Naomi, and she's a professional musician, and she plays on the street. Yet she's played for various groups in the United States. So she's a committed full-time cello player. And we gave her a nice tip, too, by the way. All right, moving on. And here's me at the Kotel. As you know, I take the prayers of the saints from here to the Kotel, and we prayed for you guys and other people, family, friends, et cetera, et cetera. I did we can't show it up here, but I did a four and a half minute teaching on praying in Jesus' name, what it means, what it does not mean. And some of you saw that probably on Facebook. So let's move on. Now, this is in a square. I forgot the name of the synagogue behind me. I'm sure August would know it, but it escapes me. It was a synagogue that was burnt down by Muslim partisans, and they rebuilt it almost a century ago. They did rebuild it. But what you see in front is the seven-branch menorah that the Temple Institute has made, and they say will be in the Holy of Holies once the third temple is rebuilt. So you could be looking at Bible prophecy being fulfilled here. This is the menorah that is anticipated to go into the third temple in Jerusalem, which is, I believe, soon to be built. So let's go on. All right. So August and I then revisited the Elvis Presley Cafe near Jerusalem. This is an amazing place. The owner opened this cafe in 1974, and he had to get a license agreement with the Elvis Presley estate. So we opened this thing 3 years before Elvis Presley died. His son runs it now as the co-owner, Amir. But anyway, from the name of the restaurant, you can guess it is a hamburger place with an Elvis Presley theme throughout the establishment. And there's the, you go into, it's amazing hamburgers too. The patties are, you know, 2.5 inches thick. Nothing you'd find here. All right, let's go ahead. And here's the August sitting down. So this is, isn't that beautiful? Beautiful mid-1950s malt shop theme. And August will be taking his tours every year to Israel. And I believe he told me in the October 27 one, they plan on going here. So you guys that are going on that tour, you'll love this place. Okay. And you see all the Elvis memorabilia everywhere. All right. Okay. So one of the owners, you see pictured with me here, is a Jewish man by the name of Amir. We talked with him, and the Holy Spirit led us to use an incident in the life of Elvis Presley to share the gospel with Amir. You may be wondering, well, what could that possibly be? Well, let me share you the true incident of what happened in Elvis's life that was a wide open door to share the gospel with Amir. The incident in question, we told him about, involved a group of fans holding up a banner at an Elvis Presley concert, which said on it, "Elvis is the king." Elvis momentarily stopped the concert and told the fans the sign was wrong. Elvis then said to the crowd, "Jesus is the king, not me." Can you believe that? Amir was blown away by this true story. From that, he heard us tell him about what King Jesus did for our salvation and victory over death he wrought on our behalf. Revelation 19:16. Amir was touched to the heart and received a complete Hebrew Bible from us with several messianic gospel tracts to know this great king Elvis pointed his fans to, who is king of all, the blessed and only potentate, the king of kings and lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. Who would have guessed that, you know, the Holy Spirit uses an incident in Elvis's life. Elvis corrected the crowd. "No, I'm not the king. Yeshua, or Jesus, is the king." And from that, we use that very incident in the Elvis Presley Cafe. They got great burgers there, and I did the full thing: fries, burger, and a shake. All right. So moving on. So, and there is a, believe that's an actual gold record they have in there. Elvis's album, number one hits. Just wall to wall of Elvis Presley paraphernalia, statues, posters, records, movies. And of course, they play his music while you're in there, and they have videos of him up everywhere. But they are officially licensed by the Elvis Presley estate. All right, let's go on. And that is looking at the Mount of Olives and the Church of the Ascension right there, the traditional site where Jesus ascended to heaven, Acts chapter 1. And, of course, Zechariah the prophet tells us he will return. All right. So day 7 of our outreach continues in the city of Jerusalem. It was another accomplished day of gospel ministry. August Rosado and I were able to effectively discuss with Leo, you see pictured here with August, Leo, a candy store owner. We discussed with him reasons from the scripture for why God chose the Jewish people from all the families of the earth. It was to record the oracles of God, to be a spiritual light and blessing to the nations, and to give the world a savior, to bring salvation to mankind in the person and work of Jesus the Messiah. Isaiah 49:6, Luke 2:32, Romans 3:1-2. And now we spoke to Leo, proclaiming the God of Israel sent us from a far country back to the Jewish people in the land God gave them to declare that Jesus is the Messiah whom the Tanakh foretold should come, Isaiah 62:10-11. August and I went over some of the messianic prophecies with Leo, so much so that God's Spirit convicted him to accept a Hebrew Bible, which included a New Testament that Leo noticed and was happy to read for the first time. And may the Spirit bring him to saving faith from this word of the gospel. Then moving on from there, you see Leo and August here conversing. And then us three. And then moving on from there to sunglasses store, the Lord opened the heart of a young Arab, a man, to hear of the immeasurable blessings the gospel of God brings to those who repent and put their trust in Jesus the Messiah. The man's name was Hassan, an Arab man. He learned from us that God wants to save people from their sins and adopt them into his forever family by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Romans 8, 15 and 16. Galatians 3, 26 and 4, 4 through 7. Hassan happily received an Arabic gospel tract and a Bible from us to tap into the gospel of salvation blessings to those that believe in the Son of God. John 1, 16 and 17. And there I'm going through the gospel tract with him concerning the blessings of Yeshua the Messiah. Next, now this is interesting. This man's name is Or, which means light in Hebrew. We went in there earlier when we first walked in the Malka Mall, because this is where all this ministry took place, the Malka Mall, right across the street from Teddy Kollek Stadium, the great mayor of Jerusalem, who was good friends with Zola, by the way, the late Teddy Kollek. Anyway, in this mall, it's called the Malka Mall. We walked in there and I noticed they were selling a tortoise. Well, guess what? If people who know me know that I have a Russian tortoise. And this tortoise they were selling is called an African Skulkata. It was about that big. But the problem with buying an African Skulkata tortoise is you better have a big backyard, a lot of grass, and a fence that goes deep into the ground, because they get this big and they become full adults and they dig like crazy. And we laughed and I said, you got to tell people if they're going to buy it, how big it's going to get. And he laughed. So we were about ready to witness to him. And the devil likes to do this, by the way. People come right in and take his attention away. Sometimes that'll happen to us. We're talking to somebody, or right before we're talking to somebody in these shops, somebody will come right in just out of nowhere and draw their attention away. And we either leave or we'll come back later. So August and I said, we got to come back later, because we felt like Orr was open, who worked there at the pet shop. When we came back to visit him on our way out, Orr asked us why we come to Israel so often. He was very happy at the answer we gave him, to boldly make known to the Jewish people that God has kept the promises made to the fathers by sending his son, the Messiah Yeshua, to redeem from sin all those who put their trust in him, Acts 13, 32 and 33. This Habesarah, that's the Hebrew word for gospel, God commands must first go to Israel, because salvation is of the Jews, coming from the Jewish Jesus, John 4, 22, Romans 1, 16. Or was elated over giving him a complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic reading materials to biblically lead him to a saving relationship with God through Israel's promised Messiah. And there he is right there. So after that, we did teaching, which you now can get on August Rosado's YouTube channel. We went to the Church of Our Lady of the Ark of the Covenant. That is the area. This is the area. Archaeologists are sure they've excavated the ancient city Kiryat Yearim there. 2 Samuel 6, this is where David fetched the ark and brought it to Jerusalem. Remember, they brought it there and they put it on a cart, which was prohibited in the Torah. The Levites were to carry the ark, not, and God specifically said in the Torah, do not put it on a cart and move it. And remember, Uzzah tried that, put it on the cart. The ark tilted, he touched it, and he was struck down. Now, you're going to say, well, God was really harsh that way. Well, you're a shallow believer if you think that, quite frankly, because when God wants to be worshipped, you do it his way. That's the main lesson we learn in 2 Samuel 6. You don't come to God on your own terms, what you think is convenient and fitting and agreeable. You come to God on his terms. Amen? And of course, when David heard of this, he was disturbed. And then when they moved the ark from here, Kiryat Yearim, they did it the right way. They had the Levites carry it to Jerusalem. And so we did a teaching here on that incident and its practical truths for today. I just kind of gave you a snapshot of the practical truth of that. And that is, you worship God according to his standards, not your own. Amen. All right, so that's the beautiful church. We got some inside shots of the church here. Some of the churches we visited, they were Catholic, and they were very accommodating to us, so we do appreciate that. This is the outer structure and beautiful architecture. They know how to do architecture. I'll give them that. And that's the inside of the church. And 5th century mosaic from the Byzantine church that was built there. Go ahead. And that is a fifth, that's in great shape, folks. Look at that 5th century Byzantine mosaic of an ancient Byzantine church that stood there, on which this modern Roman day Catholic church is built on. Okay, brother. And this is looking at, I guess, for lack of a better word, downtown Jerusalem from Kiryat Yearim, 2 Samuel 6 again. That's the actual location we're shooting from. So, all right. So day 8 of the 60th Gospel Outreach to Israel began at our hotel in Jerusalem. The Lord brought two open and grateful Israelis across our path for powerful ministry. Rima, as you see pictured here with August and I, is the guest relations manager at our hotel. She mentioned that she was a Russian Jew who immigrated to Israel several years ago. Suddenly, August and I remembered the great end-time prophecy of Jeremiah 16:14-15, where God promised he will bring back the Jewish people from the far north. Russia is directly north of Israel. In the 1980s, there was a mass exodus of Russian Jews that the state of Israel brought back to the land called, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Operation Exodus. We further said to Rima, God had kept his promise to her and all Russian Jews who immigrated to Israel from Russia in the north by bringing them back to their land at the end of days. This led us to inform her that the Lord has also kept his word, his promise to her and all Russian Jews and to all of Israel by sending the Messiah to Israel in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Rima warmly received from us a complete Jewish Bible to explore this major fulfillment of Bible prophecy and see for herself Jesus is the only one to save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. Now, this really gets interesting. There's Rima again with August and I. This really gets interesting here, folks. An Israeli Jewish man by the name of Boaz, pictured with August, pictured here with August and I, overheard us in the lobby and wanted to know more about our visit to Israel. August and I said to him, "The God of the Bible sent us to the Jewish people in Israel to tell them he has placed them back in the land he gave them, never to be uprooted or scattered from there again." Amos, and we quoted to him Amos 8:14-15. And God has regathered you in preparation for the return of Yeshua the Messiah. But you don't have to wait to believe in salvation for him then. You can believe him now through the gospel we proclaim to you. We get into the elevator as we're sharing with Boaz. And to our awe and astonishment, Boaz showed us his muscular forearm, and there we saw with our own eyes, as he told us, chill bumps over what we had just told him. Boaz was rejoicing over our sharing the gospel with him in the course of 30 minutes. He was so moved by this Holy Spirit encounter that when we gave Boaz a complete Hebrew Bible with messianic gospel tracts, he hugged us firmly, shook our hands, promising to stay in touch with us. He had also shared that he grew up with Christian Zionists in Ecuador and has a special love for those like them and us. Amen? I mean, it was powerful. The Holy Spirit was in that elevator ministering to Boaz, and he reacted physically to it. So, pray for that man. He was so open. And, you know, this is the favor of God, folks. That's the only way you can. This is the supernatural favor that God gives us with the Jewish people. When they receive and want to hear about Yeshua, and then the Holy Spirit touches them in a physical way that they show us. And so this is the set time has come to comfort Jerusalem and the people of Israel as we are on the threshold of Messiah's return, and closer event to that is the imminency of the rapture. Amen. So that was quite a memorable event. So we went to the Hadar Mall, and there we met a Ukrainian Jew by the name of Irina. And we had some language barriers, so we pulled out our iPhones and used Google Translate, and we had no problem after that. Irina heard the gospel and how, once again, she was part of a vast throng of Jews that God brought back from the north in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And if that has come to pass, there is a greater promise that God has fulfilled that has come to pass, and that is his promise to send Israel in the world the Messiah, which we boldly told her the scripture identifies him to be Yeshua. And she assented to that and also received a complete Hebrew Bible with the routine messianic gospel tracts. Amen. So after that, we decided to go to the Judean hills and 8 miles outside of Jerusalem to try to locate and I forgot to bring the book tonight that was written by the archaeological discoverer of it. We went back there. This was our third time to try to find the cave of Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptist. And we failed twice before. And so we went out there to look for it, and our GPS told us, and ChatGTP told us also that it is located near the kibbutz Suba. So we went to the kibbutz, went into an office there where they had a mini mart, and the people in the mini mart were so friendly to us. If we had more Bibles, no doubt they would have, three of them would have accepted the scriptures. So they said, "Oh yeah, you," and they knew Yohanan HaMatbil was, and they knew of the cave. But they said, "There's a lady here who's a guide in Israel. She works here. She's not a guide right now because once again the Christians are failing to go over there and bring up the tourism because they walk in fear instead of faith. And I'm not going to make excuses for them." And so they told us to sit down. And then before you know it, they came out and gave us cold Coke Zero 16-ounce drinks. They wouldn't do, and I looked at August and said, "You couldn't get a store in America to ever do that, give you free Cokes. They just don't do it here." And more on that later. So they told us to wait for her. And so at Kibbutz Suba, then we waited for her, and she was a tour guide in Israel named Yael, and she said, "I will take you to the location." We did give her some money later because she's taken time out of her busy schedule to do this, which she didn't have to do. And she even said, "Look, I'm really pressed for time, but this place needs to be known. It needs to be a site that Christians and Jews visit, but it's fell into, it's not being maintained. There's a lot of overgrowth." And she told us the history about this cave. Shimon Gibson wrote a book called The Cave of John the Baptist. You can get on Amazon. It's about 200, almost 300 page book. I ordered it. August Rosado and I ordered it while we were over there because I had seen it before. And it is a cave that was pictured right here, discovered. It was discovered in the first century. The early part of the first century dates back to, and the archaeologist Simone Gibson is ascertained that it was probably a cave where the disciples of John the Baptist were baptized. So this is even before Jesus' ministry got off the ground, folks. This was an actual baptismal site that John's disciples were using when people would repent at John's preaching. In the interim between John's ministry and the start of Jesus' ministry, this is a very significant find. When you go in there on my left, there are etchings on the wall. Go ahead. There are etchings on the wall. Did I take pictures of them? Yeah, this is where they were going to be baptized. It also served as a water cistern or reservoir in first century Israel. And I don't, you can barely see it, but there's a figure here with his hands outstretched. This is John the Baptist that they etched in 200, 300 years after the first century. And it's got, he's got the camel's hair outfit on right here. His head is right here and his hands are out like that. So that is, and then on the other side, that's the etching I just showed you. Then on the other side, let's see if I took a picture of that. That's a closer. You can see his eyes, his nose, and his hair and his clothes there. That's supposed to be John the Baptist, an early etching of John the Baptist, probably dating to the second, early third century. And on the other side of the wall, they have another etching of John the Baptist as a shepherd. And there are three crosses etched in there. But that is the cave. August Rosado and I did a YouTube teaching there outside the cave called The Message of Repentance. And if anybody removes repentance from the gospel message, he is a false teacher and he's preaching another gospel. The hyper grace people are infamous for doing this. Oh, you don't need to repent. Only the Jews had to repent. Well, that's not what scripture teaches. Acts 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And Luke 24, and part of the Great Commission Jesus gave included preaching remission of sins and repentance to all nations. So anybody who tells you that repentance is not part of the gospel, he's a false teacher, and you need to reject them. All right, so here is Yael, our tour guide who took us to the cave of John the Baptist. And she was open and willing to further learn of this all-important saving truth that John the Baptist pointed to Yeshua and prepared all of Israel to know and receive him as the Messiah. John 1, 19-37. She took a complete Hebrew Bible from us with a study guide demonstrating that Jesus alone is the Messiah and no other Jew, and no other in Jewish or world history. Only this man from lowly Nazareth fulfilled all that Moses and the prophets foretold of him, Luke 24:27. Yael was impressed and received the word with integrity and curiosity to further learn what the Spirit of God has revealed in the pages of Scripture concerning Messiah Jesus. She looked at the Bible in the Hebrew, and she was in the back of the car. We drove her there and drove her back, and we gave her, I think, $30 in shekels for her time. And she said, this is really good Hebrew. So we don't hand out trash, folks. So, and she would know if it was good Hebrew or not. All right, day 9 of this gospel outreach in Israel, August and I left Jerusalem for the beautiful northern coastal city of Haifa. But early in the morning, I was mysteriously struck with an affliction where I was experiencing dizziness and lightheadedness, possibly from food poisoning, possibly from hypovolemic dehydration. I don't know, but it was bad. It almost turned into full-blown vertigo where you can't even stand up. As, bless her heart, as Andrea, the office manager at Zola 11, when I came back and told her about it, she goes, well, whatever it is, we know it was the devil attacking you. Exactly. This lightheaded feeling with a draining of energy would not go away. Barely able to walk, I managed to sit in the passenger seat of the car while August drove us to Haifa. I usually drive us around Israel in our rental car, but I just couldn't do it. And August was very concerned. He said, well, do you want to stay at the hotel and I can finish up? And I said, no, I'm going to go with you. And it took me everything just to get up and walk in the mall. Whatever this was, it virtually drained me of all my strength. Yet God gave me his strength to carry on in much weakness, as we're taught in 2 Corinthians 12:9. A little after 1 in the afternoon, August and I made it to one of the main shopping malls in Haifa. And what's really weird, we put in our GPS, the Grand Canyon Mall, and instead it took us to the Azzarelli Mall, which is sea level of Haifa. Haifa is a hilly city. The other mall, the Grand Canyon Mall, which we put in our GPS, is on the highest point of Haifa. So obviously, I think the Lord wanted us to go to the Azarelli Mall first before going to the Grand Canyon Mall the next day. We shared the gospel of Jesus the Messiah with two very open Jewish ladies. The first one here is Oshia, and then Yaffa. But with both, we centered our witness around Romans 15:27, letting both ladies know that every saved believer in Yeshua the Messiah is indebted to the Jewish people for the spiritual riches God poured out through them to the world. For this cause, we told both of them we wanted to give them complete Hebrew Bibles and several Messianic gospel tracts to receive back these spiritual riches that were originally bestowed by God on the world through the Jewish people. These gifts of God's grace given in return by us opened both their hearts to receive the gospel of the Jewish Messiah as revealed in both testaments of the Hebrew Scriptures. So this is Oshia. See August there with the Bible and the Messianic gospel tracts. And that is us together with her. And then we have Yaffa. You can see how touched these people are. And then the next day, day 10 of the 60th gospel outreach to Israel. Praise God, after fighting some type of debilitating virus for 24 hours. When we got back to the hotel around 4 p.m. the previous day, when we first arrived in Haifa, I slept from 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. the next morning. By experience, when you get this kind of stuff, you just got to sleep it off. And praise God, the next morning, 24 hours later, I awoke refreshed and healed. Malachi 4:2. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. And so I was completely recovered and healed. Amen. Then we went to the Grand Canyon Mall. August Rosado and I met and ministered to Shelley, pictured here with me, working at the Garmin, G-A-R-M-I-N, not garment, but Garmin shop. They make watches and various other things. They used to make GPS things. Shelley was excited to learn for the first time that the Messiah of Israel is at the heart of biblical Judaism. We had the time to show her this by way of several messianic prophecies we reviewed with her. Shelley saw enough proof to want to further acquaint herself with the biblical portrait of the Messiah in the face of Yeshua when accepting a Hebrew Bible from us with profuse thankfulness. Later, when we walked by there, she had customers. So again, it's God's timing. We weren't interrupted in there. And we had a good 15 to 20 minutes with her, I would imagine, and nobody came in. Amen. Inbal, in a similar circumstance, was also open to read from the scriptures we also gave to her, the biblical validation for Jesus being the one to come foretold by the prophets. August and I were able to give a brief overview of God's biblical plan for Israel from the Exodus to the Second Coming. Wanting to know more about this divine program, Inbal gratefully took a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures and Messianic Bible study materials from this ministry to further enlighten her on how to receive the free gift of salvation from God through his son, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Again, the Lord had us then meet another Russian Jew who had immigrated to Israel a decade ago. Her name was Christina. August and I mentioned to her of how the Jewish exodus to Israel from Russia in the north is a fulfillment of end-time prophecy, Isaiah 43, 5 through 6. This occurrence, we went on to tell her, is a shining example of how God keeps his word, no matter how long the passage of time. We then said to Christina that Yeshua, the greatest Jew of all, was God's promise kept of giving Israel and the world a Savior and Messiah, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Messiah Yeshua. We told her the Lord wants you to know him through the salvation he has freely given through Yeshua. Christina was moved at our words and giving her the scriptures so she can now read and believe Yeshua for repentance and the remission of sins. Acts 10:43. So next, we decided to try to go to the traditional site called the Cave of Elijah the Prophet, where Jewish tradition says Elijah lived while ministering in the Carmel region. So we visited this place. We tried to visit this place 3 years ago, and it was closed for renovation. Now it was open, and we went up there and did a teaching on the message of Elijah, which, again, is available on August Rosado's YouTube channel. So go ahead. You see, it was renovated in 2022. And it's considered a holy site in Judaism. And this is the history, the biblical history of Eliyahu, or Elijah the prophet. More information. And this is the cave itself. It is, I believe, a synagogue / prayer room. And we did like a 10-minute teaching in there. And these are also available on my YouTube channel. My Facebook page. Here's some more of it. And that is the beautiful Haifa Bay from our hotel room on the 16th floor. By the way, right in here is the insidious center of the Baha'i faith. Are you familiar with that cult? Baha'i believes that Baha'u'llah, their prophet, is the culmination of divine revelation given to man. That the Hindu gurus, Buddha, Zarathustra, Moses, Muhammad, they are rungs on the ladder of divine revelation. And Jesus is the second rung to the top of that ladder. Muhammad is the next rung, and then Baha'u'llah would be, well, technically Jesus would be the third rung to the top, Muhammad the second to the top, and then Baha'u'llah, the top of the ladder. I've witnessed to these people before, and they get very, very angry and touchy when you tell them that Baha'u'llah has no power to rescue men from his greatest enemy.
Well, what is that?
That would be called death. There's only one person in the world who said he would conquer death and deal with mankind's greatest problem and dealt with it decisively when he himself rose from the dead, thus showing his infinite superiority over all the other leaders of the world religions, including Baha'u'llah. Now, we actually witnessed to these folks. They own gift shops below those buildings you saw. They're on the street there on what's called the German colony in Haifa, and we witnessed to them of the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah and how that alone proves he's not only Messiah but God, and they didn't have an answer for it. We would point up there, and I said, well, you know, Baha'u'llah's bones are still moldering in his tomb, and the tomb of Jesus is empty. So wouldn't you rather listen to someone who's risen from the dead and conquered the greatest problem we all face rather than some counterfeit who claims that he is the culmination of divine revelation when he is not? He couldn't even deal with man's potent problem. And you'll have to leave, sir. And usually that's their attitude. They're threatened by the truth, but they are deceived, and the Baha'i faith is a cult, even though it's classified as a world religion. Okay. So day 11 of the gospel outreach to Israel. All praise, glory, and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. August Rosado and I concluded, victoriously concluded, the 60th gospel outreach on the Sabbath with another triumphant day of boldly sharing the gospel to the Jewish people in Haifa. We met Irina in her necklace and a bead shop where she makes custom-made jewelry. Very beautiful stuff. Her interest as to why August and I come to Israel so often opened an obvious door to giving her a full gospel witness of who and what Yeshua came to do for Israel and the world, to die for the sins of mankind, bring redemption, and return to complete his prophetic program with the Jewish people in the land of Israel. God promised to give them forever. Isaiah 53, Matthew 20, 28, Genesis 17, 7 and 8, and Zechariah chapters 12 through 14. Irina was open to the idea of investigating the biblical and historical evidence for what we shared by receiving a complete Bible and Messianic gospel tracts from us to search the scriptures to see these things are indeed so and worthy of belief. John 5:39. The Lord then had us use the Google Translate app from our iPhones to share the gospel with Eden, who was working at the Gulf furniture store. We said to her how God has reconciled the world to himself by offering the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus the Messiah, to those that receive him by faith. Romans 6:23, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. The Lord set up and brought this free gift received by faith through the chosen people of Israel. John 10:10 through 22. God has placed his love, we told her, in our hearts that sends us back to Israel to make known the content of this gift, which that to know God has sent us back to Israel, we told Eden, so that she could know this, and that to know the content of this gift is to read the complete Word of God in both testaments of the Jewish Bible. She was thrilled to do just that by taking hold of a copy of the scriptures for herself from us, and praise the Lord. So then that night, the Shabbat came, and we were down in the lobby, and we started talking to a family, an Israeli family from Tel Aviv, and they asked us why we come. We shared the gospel with them. We told them God is not finished with Israel, and their miraculous regathering and restoration to their ancient homeland, which Hashem promised to give them as an everlasting possession, is undeniable historical proof of that. They were laughing and saying, yeah, yes, and loving it. And we, there's August and I, and then I started talking with a man sitting next to me by the name of Chaim, which means life. Go ahead. Keep going. There's Chaim. So we started talking about God's prophetic program for Israel. We talked about the Jewish Messiah and how biblical evidence and history point to it being exclusively Yeshua. And I told Chaim very boldly, Adonai has also graced us with coming back here and helping put Yeshua, bringing Yeshua back to his people, because he belongs front and center among his own people, the Jewish people. And he went like this and laughed and agreed completely with what we were saying. So pray for Chaim and his family. What a way to conclude this gospel outreach. Amen. Now may all 34 Hebrew Bibles and Messianic gospel tracts August and I gave out with personal ministry to each individual in Israel, produce faith in Yeshua the Messiah for eternal life, knowing that the Word of God will not return void as promised in Isaiah 55:11. And folks, if you want to be active participants in reaching the Jewish people for the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, don't sit on the sidelines. You can be an active participant by financially supporting us so that we can continue to do this ministry. Because let me tell you something. Not many ministries are doing what we're doing in Israel. There's a few of them, but not enough. The church should be frequently doing this. In fact, there should be droves of born-again, Bible-believing Christians going over there and sharing the gospel, not just touring the land. Well, they're not touring the land now because of the conflict, and they walk in fear instead of faith, and they're just indifferent about reaching the Jews. And other reasons are anti-Semitic, but I think it's mostly just plain indifference. But you can change that. You can either go and do it yourself, but make sure you know your stuff, because doing it the wrong way is more injurious to the Jewish people than not doing it at all. Or support ministries like ours that are deserving of such support by the fruits you have seen here. And so if you would like to support us, again, you can click on that donate link and make a tax-deductible donation so we can continue to reach out with the love of Yeshua for his people and give them the only thing that can save them and preserve them in the end, and that's the gospel of their own Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.